This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brann.
I'm Alex Chadwick. We are in Connecticut this week, exploring the space between reputation and reality. Connecticut, green, wealthy, a long stretch of waterfront that is called the Gold Coast.
Which includes the city of Bridgeport. Drop by the local public schools there, and you'll wonder where all the money went. 80% of the public school kids in the city are in failing schools. From WNPR, here is reporter Diane Orson.
Anna Washington sits alone in the middle of an empty high school classroom in Bridgeport. The building, more than 80 years old, is in need of repair. Washington is waiting for her son Wayne to finish his last day of summer school. He was a freshman last year, and from the first day, she says Wayne complained that classes were cramped. History was the worst.
It was a very large class in a very small room. And if you didn't get there early enough, sometimes he would have to sit on a radiator because it really was overcrowded.
Wayne talked about fights in the corridors, no substitutes on days when teachers were absent. Then, after a bout of asthma kept him home for a few days, he told his mother there were not enough books to make up his work.
Are you kidding me? Go get a book. What are you? I thought he was trying to, you know, pull a fast one. He said, Ma, they don't have any books.
Washington describes her son as a capable student, but Wayne failed two classes his freshman year. Washington says he was fighting too many obstacles.
Too many barriers, and I know they were not all self-imposed.
More barriers were imposed on students this fall. Bridgeport's education budget was cut by 7%, an $11 million shortfall. That's significant, given that most school districts increase budgets 3% to 5% each year to meet contract obligations and keep pace with rising health insurance premiums. These cuts follow 2 years of shortfalls that totaled another $11 million. School advocates say Bridgeport is vastly underfunded by both the city and state.
It's been a bleeding that has been going on for years. Every year, we have had to basically do more with less.
Longtime school board member Max Medina describes the current situation as unspeakable.
And this year, we finally hit the breaking point where we actually had to close two schools, leave positions unfilled, and take the type of steps that no board member in any school district ever wants to take.
Hundreds of elementary school children are being sent from closed schools into already overcrowded classrooms across the city. Despite rising enrollment, 30 teaching positions have been eliminated. Margie Powell has two grandchildren in the public schools and runs a Head Start program in one of the city's toughest neighborhoods. She says quality teachers leave Bridgeport because they don't have the resources to do their jobs. Budgets are about priorities, and Powell says public education is not a priority in Bridgeport.
And it's not a priority because of the children that utilizes public education. If people have the money, they purchase private education, and they make sure that their children are getting what they're supposed to get.
Bridgeport lies on the eastern end of one of Connecticut's wealthiest counties, but 95% of the city's students come from families living at or near the poverty level. Travel 60 miles along the coast toward New York City, and you pass through towns with some of the highest per capita incomes in the nation. Bridgeport residents talk of invisible walls between their city and the rest of Fairfield County. They say residents of these New York bedroom communities can't see what's going on in Bridgeport because they're too busy commuting in the opposite direction. Attorney Ken Bernard is a former state representative from the wealthy seaside town of Westport.
I don't know that they don't want to cross over and help. I don't think they do cross over and help. I just don't think they think about it a whole lot. They're focused on their own community and their own lives.
Contrasts are stark, and a series of recent scandals has Connecticut lawmakers unsure whether state dollars earmarked for public education in Bridgeport will be spent appropriately. The city's former mayor and state senator are both serving time in prison for racketeering and bribery. Meanwhile, Bridgeport's current mayor has publicly admitted using cocaine while in office. Peter Hurst is CEO of the Communities Bank and an outspoken advocate for education funding in Bridgeport.
You got to wonder, you know, if I'm sending a dollar to Bridgeport, is a dollar going to make it to the classroom?
18-year-old Eric Wells dribbles a basketball on the hot pavement outside Bridgeport's Bassac High School. There's no court in sight. The streets are littered and empty. He's a senior and plays basketball, baseball, and football. He's anxious to come over and talk about the uniforms, courts, and instruction that money buys for student athletes in neighboring Fairfield County towns.
I think the wealthy people up there, I think that's why one of our reasons we don't have a good athletic program is because of the way we're not as wealthy. So most of the money they get, since their schools are ready to go, it just goes to the athletic program. When we get money, it can't go to the athletic program because we need to make our school better before we can think of athletes.
There are some historical reasons why Bridgeport is in this situation. Frankly, from a global perspective, none of them justifiable.
Robert Gennario works for the state's Office of Policy and Management, helping to set budget priorities. He agrees that it's time to re-examine the formula that determines how state dollars are sent to school districts. One problem is that the formula fails to look squarely at who uses public schools. The state sends money to cities and towns based on poverty rates for all the children in a district, but in Bridgeport, many middle-class families pull their kids out of the public system and send them to private and parochial schools. That's part of the reason why Bridgeport contributes fewer dollars toward its own schools, says bank president Peter Hurst.
There is a disconnect between the population of the city and the population of the school district. And I think that people who, you know, live in Bridgeport and are not parents don't really feel like they have any skin in the game because they don't have kids in the schools.
Richard Paoletto's children attend the public schools. He also sits on Bridgeport City Council. Paoletta says it's easy to blame the city for a lack of school funding, but his job is to represent all the residents in his district, and only a third of them are school children.
We just can't do everything that we would like to do. If we gave every single dime that the Board of Education was looking for, I mean, people's taxes would double, and people that are paying the taxes that they're paying right now can't afford the taxes that they're paying right now.
But Anna Washington says her son Wayne can't afford to wait for the politicians to figure things out. He's joining the exodus of students from Bridgeport's public schools to attend a private parochial high school this year.
I said, look, you got a life after high school, and you've got to be prepared for college. You've got to be prepared to get a job, and you're not going to get it here.
A class action lawsuit has been filed by families of children in Bridgeport and other low-performing school districts. It argues that the state of Connecticut has failed to adequately fund its public schools, depriving children of their right to an equal educational opportunity. For NPR News, I'm Diane Orson.